Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where Trace Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea or nostalgic bit of your childhood into a pitch for an awesome movie. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Colorado Campos, treasure hunter, archaeologist, screenwriter, fortune seeker. And I'm searching for the lost treasure of Greenlight. The story treasure where you get a movie made.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm an explorer of the human psyche. Hopefully making a story out of the human psyche, and I'm a writer-director.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. All right.
Good job kind of just doing the bit I did.
Yeah, man. I know. This, I hate being third.
But did you see how I did like a little thing where like I did like an Indiana Jones thing with my name?
Yeah, no, it was really good. What happens is, what always happens, well, you're just so impressive that every time I'm thinking, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And then I just get caught up in your world building and voice acting, and I just literally get transported away. Yeah, I forget myself. It takes me a few seconds to kind of transport back into this room. And
it was Arnold's birthday yesterday, everyone.
Oh, yay.
Happy birthday, Matt.
I mean, who knows what day it was by the time you hear
by
this.
By the time we recorded this, it was Matt Arnold's birthday.
It's eternally one day from Matt Arnold's birthday.
So whenever you hear this, wish Matt a happy birthday.
Anytime somebody says, like, it's your birthday, and, like, publicly, I'm always thinking, like, isn't that easier for...
Identity thieves? That's
like,
right.
Hey, yesterday was Matt Arnold's birthday. Also, his mother's maiden name was...
Well,
and his pet's first name was...
Hey, Matt,
what was
the name of your high school mascot, real quick?
It was the Knights.
Really? Like, yeah. K-N-I-G-H?
Okay, yep. Just,
what was the make and model of your first car?
Cool. Just going to get here.
Today...
And tomorrow is my birthday, too. Love and giving a big high school reunion. Me and the bird bats. Just fellow bird bats having the high school reunion, my birthday tomorrow.
My high school football team, the SSNs. I was number 805.
Okay.
Do you guys seen the thing with what's your serial killer name?
No.
Your serial killer name is your full legal name followed by your social security number. It's crazy. Have you tried this?
All right.
Loving it, boys. All right. So you know what's great about that? It's that we got ourselves in that mindset, that old school, non-technological, a little bit technological, identity theft mindset, which is totally perfect for what we're doing this week, Fireball Island. The curse
of Pitbull.
Now, I have no familiarity whatsoever with this game. Will, you said that you actually owned this game growing up.
Yeah. My sister and I had the game growing up, but we never played it. We just played with My Little Ponies and Ninja Turtle action figures on the Fireball Island board.
So it was like an expansion pack for your Ninja Turtles.
Basically, yeah.
Well, because it's a very cool vacuum form 3D island. It's like a playset, essentially.
Yeah.
But the core concept of the game is that you're all explorers, and you go onto the island, and you're trying to collect treasure and take photographs of this beautiful island, and then get off of it before the curse of Ulkar, which is represented by this big stone kind of demon head. And, you know, it's kind of like a volcano, and it shoots out fireballs. And you're trying to get off the island before the island, you know, erupts in
explosion. And to get into a little bit of the nitty-gritty here, just to paint a picture for you folks who are not familiar with the game, it's a three-dimensional island. It's about 8 inches tall, and it's a landscape wherein these balls of marble can roll down and take little paths and stuff, and you can be in the path of them and they can knock you down. So it's a very dynamic game. It's very much reminds me a little bit of a Mousetrap.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of like that era of board games where, as Matt, what you were saying earlier, like they were like toys rather than just board games. So it has a little bit of that, has a little bit of, you know, you're running around, you can get hit by things being knocked down, et cetera, et cetera.
The dimensional adventure of pitfalls and perils was the original slogan of Fireball Island.
There were some fucking marketing execs sitting there and trying to come up with as many adjectives to describe their dumb game, right? Like they must have been like, now, Jerry... Dimension. It's got to be because it's a three-dimensional game. These kids love it. It's got to say the word dimensional early on. And Pitfall. Like that Atari game. Pitfall. Right? Because it came out in 1986 originally, correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, Pitfall would have been huge at the time.
Pitfall was 82. Pitfall was 82. Like, boy, oh, like, yeah. Wearing its references on its sleeve. And Indiana Jones. It's got an Indiana Jones vibe.
You kids remember Pitfall?
Okay. So, let's get started.
Okay.
So we're talking about...
Starting the clock.
The one reason I was excited about doing this was, one, I enjoy the game a lot. But two, I thought it's been a while since we've done kind of like a real, not serious, but like a straightforward adventure movie. In fact, I don't know if we've ever done
one. We've never done one, I don't think.
Like
I
an
think,
Indiana Jones style adventure movie.
I think anytime we do a movie like this, it winds up having like a fucking, like a talking refrigerator in it, and the kids have to like, you know, do some silly thing. And,
yeah.
You know, inevitably it winds up being about 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because that's what we all are at
because
heart.
We're emotional 12-year-olds. All right, so look, based on the little bit of the game we played, it seems pretty clear to me that this is like, it's a mad world meets Indiana Jones. Because you have this, or it's Hurricane Heist meets Indiana Jones, and that you have this island that's about to explode.
Ticking clock.
And it's full of danger and traps and whatnot, and you have all of these adventurers descend on this island hoping to get a fucking taste of that treasure before the ocean, you know, swallows the island whole, or the volcano erupts and turns the whole thing into molten lava.
It's like, I was just thinking, because what's fun is you all come on a helicopter.
The
like,
helicopter. So the helicopter says Ember Corp on the side, right?
Mm.
And then I also see on the box art someone saying, I need a vacation from this vacation. So is this maybe like a Airbnb experience where you like this company flies you to this island and it's like an island sized escape room.
Now can I throw something in there very quickly. Ember Corp and the island's going to erupt. Perhaps the island itself is being secretly triggered by this maniacal corporation. Think of the Fincher's The Game. Who want that extra edge, that Indiana Jones touch of running from boulders and trying to avoid snakes and lava. Maybe they're the ones engineering all of this calamity.
What if it's like a Cabin in the Woods kind of thing where you do that, the president of Ember Corp himself is like the trickster god Volkar.
Like he sits as a big robot in the middle of the head and he sits there and he rotates it and he spits fireballs
out. So yeah,
out.
So you could do something where it's like these people get invited to come to this mysterious island and have the adventure of their life looking for fancy treasure. And then, but they don't realize that they've been invited here by like this vengeful spirit, or again, like it's a sacrifice thing. Like they're all going to get killed by the island. I don't know.
I kind of like
little Agatha Christie in there.
Or it's just an old school adventure movie, and it's their own treasure hunt.
Well, yeah, I kind of like.
I like someone being on vacation unwittingly. I like the old school Indiana Jones type, right?
I don't think the island should be like Hunger Games, where it's like a construct. Because I think it kind of gets rid of the mystery of the island. It's like, because we've talked about this a lot, as opposed to like kind of an exaggerated version of Everest, which I'm definitely obsessed with, and I've read a lot about. And it's like it's something about. You're rich or you're an adventure hunter and you want to go on this mountain and have this grand adventure. And it's kind of insane. Like, it's just dangerous. You're essentially paying for a vacation where you might die. So it feels like this is only one step removed. If they did find some island in the Pacific that was like, this is a crazy ass island. There's volcanoes and shit. But there's a bunch of like treasure and stuff. You know, there'd be some people who are like, I want to, you know, get me on a helicopter and go explore.
I mean, there are treasure hunters, right? People who like try and look for old shipwrecks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they're out there.
Because I was thinking you could also do, maybe it's a little too similar to some of the stuff we were doing with Jurassic Park, which I guess is kind of a straightforward adventure movie, is maybe you have this Indiana Jones type character, but there's so much less mystery in the world. And, you know, there's no more treasure hunting. And so he was hired by this corporation to essentially get, to guide rich folks onto this like vacation island or whatnot. And he kind of sees it as like his, you know, the death of, you know, it's a little bit like the old cowboy or whatever. It's like back in the day in the 1950s and 60s, there was adventure hunters and you had all these Indiana Jones types. But now it's like everything's Google mapped and it's all, warded off and everybody knows where this treasure island is and this, you know, corporation by. And now it's just like for, you know, he thinks there's nothing left to explore. And then there'd be like, when these adventurers come to this island, something like there is something like all of a sudden Volkar's real, you know, it's like he knows that there's really nothing that exciting on this island. But then all of a sudden the island starts, you know, erupting. It's like, oh, shit, there's still something, you know, kind of teaches.
So what was he doing on the island if he didn't like
he's like the Sherpa for Everest. He's the person he flies the rich people on the helicopter and he sets up base camp and he tells them like, if you want the River Rapids adventure, go ahead and travel east. And if you want to see the spooky Volkar, go up to the west. And yes, watch out for the dangerous snakes. He's like part of he's there to give them a treasure, you know, hunt adventure sort of thing. But it's not, you know, it's not real. It's a kind of a vacationed place.
Oh, just to go off of the idea that you said we need a vacation from this vacation. You know, and Will, you know what? You were there with this. You know something that I think about a little bit sometimes is...
What?
We went on that bro cruise for our friend's bachelor party, and I think a lot about, like...
This is, by the way, you've now entered that into the story break canon.
That's true.
Our the cruise that Freddie and I went on together.
Yeah. Well, but you know how like those cruise companies, they have those like, they always sell those excursion packages. It's like we're on port and you can go hang around in the touristy, like, you know, like flea markets and stuff, or you can pay $800 for the helicopter excursion.
Oh, so what you're proposing is essentially like an update. Yeah. On our Jurassic Park episode, where we had Chris Pratt's character as like a loser on a cruise ship.
Because
we were trying to get the dinosaurs on the boat. But in this version, it would be like Indiana Jones fell on hard times and now he offers like day tour packages
Exactly. And he's in the part of the world where he's like, now we could do the lame, you know, waterfall zipline things. Like, or you folks want a real adventure? And he knows about this, you know, this island off to the side here, shrouded by mists and mystery, lost to time itself, that he can be like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to get this, because here's why I latch on that.
He's like, he hangs out, like, again, we went to Jamaica, right? And like, you got out of the boat port, the docks, and there were like people waiting to take, because they knew this is where the cruise ships came in,
exactly.
So they could wait with people with taxis and stuff like that. So you could also do this, a guy who hangs out here, you know, like waiting to swindle rich people out of their money or whatever.
Yeah, like, he has like a sort of ersatz like cruise. Like, this is the excursion. That's right. Right this way, folks. Right this way. We're going to take cash up front, like a little bit of a hustler.
What I think would be fun is that if he sees the same people all the time, right? He can essentially tell you the three sorts of people that show up. It's the overly rich college kids. It's the excited, you know, middle age, midlife crisis, want to have an adventure.
It's the kind of sick with norovirus guys on a on a bachelor party, and one of them's kind of staying behind and missed Jamaica.
But then one day it's like, and then you have like the crew who's going to be, you know, the cast of the movie. You have those kind of like archetypes, but then there's like three or four people that are like the bad guys in The Mummy. He's like, they are straight face adventurers. And he's like, why are they on this island? And it's like, because they know something. They know this island's not just a tourist trap. It's like, they know there's something real on the island. And all of a sudden, he starts following them, and then sure enough, they're doing real shit. And he's like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. And then he gets like,
the adventure comes back. One of them is his ex-paramour, his ex-lover.
Yes.
Who is, you know, you never supposed to be, it's like His Girl Friday, and she's supposed to be on her honeymoon with her new dopey husband, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he meets the husband first, because like a screwball romance. Because the husband's like, oh, I want to go to this island to film an engagement video for me and my sweetheart, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to post it on Instagram.
He's like, all right, I'll
give
you the package. We'll get you on the mountain, blah 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 blah, and then who should walk around the corner but his old flame? He's like, wait a second.
Well, she tries.
Wait a second. You're just hoodwinking. You know something about this island. You and me. Yeah.
She's trying to play it off. She's like, no, you know, my husband, you know, heard about my adventurous lifestyle. I've put that treasure hunting away, but he wanted to kind of experience what my past was like. So I thought I'd give him a fun adventure. I didn't know you would be here. He's like, He's like, I don't think you put away that lifestyle. He's like, of course I did. This is just a vacation. He's like, maybe she knows something I don't know
about
this island. About
the secret of Volcar,
and he's
and
like
the treasure therein.
You know what you do? Okay, this could be fun, because it's, think about it this way, because I feel like he's an adventurer. He's been on this island. It's not super huge. He probably even heard about it, and everybody thought it was, it's like a lost city of El Dorado or whatever. Like, they found it, and then it wasn't what they thought it was. They're like, oh, it's just a big dumb island with snakes and stuff on it. It's not, you know, there's no Volcar, there's no ancient god or anything like that. Was because the island is living and has been hibernating. So they got there, and like, he's been around the island, there's nothing there, but she found out there's a way to awaken it. And when you awaken the island, then it's, you know, then the treasure comes out of its mouth and all this stuff, and then the danger is like she thinks you awaken it, the treasure of Volcar, you know, is exposed and she can grab it. What she doesn't realize is when you awaken the island, you fucking awaken the island, and it has defense systems, and it throws stuff, and the snakes all of a sudden turn angry, and the, you know, lions are coming out, and it's erupting all the time and whatnot. And, you know, so
he says, you know what'd be cool? You know what'd be cool? Is that the last time this island was awake was during like the Age of Exploration, and it's like, and it was hungry for gold or treasure, right? So like all the Spanish galleons within a 400-mile radius that mysteriously disappeared. It's like, it was because this, you know, vengeful god was awakened, and like, that's where all the treasure, I don't know, somehow like the
treasure. I love the idea that rather than like, also it gets away from like, there was these, you know, indigenous
folks,
people that had treasure and stuff like that. I like the idea that this island essentially was this like magnet for treasure hunters. All the treasure on the island was brought to it. It was just a peaceful island, but it's like the, you know, it's like he essentially called treasure and he's like, come to me. And then when they show up, they get murdered and all their treasure, like even the treasure of Okar would have been like the treasure of the first person.
The first pirate that tried to bury something.
That transgressed on these lands and the land itself took it.
Because you would do this. You would do your opening is like in the Age of Pirates or whatever. And then this pirate sails because he found like this. This is very good. You do that the island back in the day sent out treasure maps in a bottle or whatever. So this pirate found a map to this island. And he's like, I know this map is leading me towards something great. There's this big X and he thinks there's going to be treasure at the X and he shows up and the X is the site of where he's going to fucking die.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and he comes cause he's this treasure hunting pirate, you know, like with this gold bauble around his neck. Yes. Right. And so the first treasure that Fireball Island claims is he goes to the spot with the X and then it sucks him into the ground. Right. Yeah. And then you see his treasure get like sort of like buried or whatever. And then you do like, so pirates and profiteers, they've all been lured to this island many times. And that's how the treasure got there.
But the idea also of like, it's like maybe it's like shrouded in mists and it's an island of opportunity. It's like pirates are like on the run from like the English and like, wait, over there, an island. We can bury the treasure here and dump it. And it's like, beckon them in.
What's also fun is like the more people that die going to that island, the more the rumors spread, which gets more people to come to the island. But here's another thing. I was just thinking, if you're talking about that this pirate dies, what could be fun is maybe the reason it's hibernating is because it lives off the death of these, it lives off of greed, right? Mm-hmm. Like if the X is where the person dies, then, you know, the person dies and again, the rumor spreads. Oh my God, this famous pirate died on this island. There must be something incredible there. The reason it's hibernating is because it needs human blood. And once it became like this tourist trap, nobody dies. They have a perfect safety record, right?
So it's a tourist trap? Like the island itself is...
Well, now it is. We're saying right now, now people just come and take trips here.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And it has this perfect track record. There's nobody's died on it. So it's like, it's lost its magic.
Doesn't a bunch of people wearing Rolexes probably, isn't there tons of treasure? Well, I don't know. But I'm just saying that, like, I think
it needs to be dormant. It needs to be dormant.
Yeah. Because what I'm getting at is that here's what I'm suggesting is that, yes, it's not as dangerous. Because kind of what Freddie was saying, it's not as dangerous as if this person's bringing their dopey boyfriend and this guy's like given up and is not excited anymore. I feel like the island is kind of what it looks like here, where there's a helicopter path and there's beaten paths made for people, and it's like a fun treasure hunt, but it's not dangerous. Like the Indiana Jones character is like, he's just guiding people here, and then when his fiance shows up, he's like, what you're doing? This is just like a tropical island that anybody who can afford a plane ticket can come and have like a fun safari. It's like the safari. Like nobody die. Like very few people die on safaris, but it's still like an adventure. Like,
yes, I guess like my only thing is like, if this thing is hungry for gold and then a bunch of tourists are coming like and bringing their money and their luxury vacations to this island, I don't understand why.
We're saying the conceit, though. The idea is that this island has been
you gotta figure out why it's hype.
Yeah, it's people are coming here, but they're just having
at some point in the past, like, you know, someone like sealed away the evil and it's hype. Whatever point is, he needs to be hibernating before modern times.
I guess it just depends on what we're doing. If we're talking about that, it's very Jurassic Park-esque, where it's like people are coming here for a vacation and then the place erupts, then that's one thing. If it's like, this is definitely a dangerous treasure hunt and people are coming here to try to find the treasure, then yeah, that's different. But what we were suggesting, or what we were talking about, was that this was ancient island that people kept going to find treasure, and people kept dying. And then, you know, the age of exploration, World War II happened. People can travel on boats all the time. It just became like any other island in the Pacific. And now, you know, you go to a brochure and it's like, hey, come see Volcar, the, you know, treasure island, you know, have a fun treasure hunt. And you get there and it's a
fake treasure hunt. The cruise ship has buried some stuff for its passengers.
It's just a fun adventure. And this guy who used to be a treasure hunter remembers the good old days plays where people actually, you know, it was dangerous, and now he's seen his, you know, the fun profession just, you know, turn into, you know, something that anybody can consume and enjoy. But his fiance, or his, you know, old fling, who's also an old treasure hunter, comes here because she knows that there is actual treasure on this island. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. This island is a real place, and the legends are true. And then, you know, when she...
Or you can do this, by the way, just if you want to keep the mystique... It's that they do that, and it's like it's a treasure hunting excursion on the mystical, legendary island, blah, blah, blah. And they just like are on one corner of the island, and there's like a little beach, and it's like, yeah, they bury some shit for the tourists, and it's like, yeah, here you go, have some Mai Tais, and you're good. You
It'd
know?
Be no
they never transgress into the jungle of the island or whatever, you know?
It'd be no different than in The Mummy if the City of Sand was just a tourist attraction right now, because there's nothing there when they get there. It's just a bunch of ruins, and people can explore.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But then once they opened up the thing, all of a sudden the City of Sand comes to life again, and The Mummy comes out, and all this shit starts happening.
Okay. Here's what I have two thoughts.
Okay.
One is that just this initial instinct that like, and I don't know, maybe it's just because we haven't done a gay story in a long time, but I was like, because I've seen the His Girl Friday thing so many times, I'm like, it should just be a gay cruise, and it should be a guy and his ex-boyfriend and the new boyfriend. And then what I would do is that it is like the ultimate treasure is going to be the ring. Do you know what I mean? It's like the boyfriend brought the ex-treasure hunter to this island, knowing this was part of his past or whatever, but he was going to propose on this trip, right? And then, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and it's like, of all the treasures in all the world, like, you know, like, there's only one treasure I want, and it's your heart or whatever.
The only thing you can do to calm Volkar is to turn him, the only thing you can do to satisfy him.
Is sacrifice a treasure?
Is sacrifice the greatest treasure. And what you do is the main character, he does, and he reveals he's kept the ring his whole time.
And he gives it to the other guy.
No, well, he gives it, he lets it go, he throws it into Volkar. Like, he has
to give
it up.
This is him giving up his...
Yes,
yeah,
but then when the guy sees, he's like, our greatest treasure. I don't have any treasure. What am I supposed to do? And the guy pulls out the ring. He's like, you kept the ring you proposed to me? He's like, when you said no, I never let go of it. And he throws it in a thing, and it comes with a car, and he gave him the greatest treasure.
I also like that it's like you've heard of Fire Island. Wait till you get a load of Fireball.
Okay, I have a good idea for an opening scene.
Okay.
Imagine, like, you have your super strapping Indiana Jones-esque. Can we give him a name? Let's give him a name.
Yeah, let's go to the...
All right, folks. I'm pulling from what we call the Story Break names sheet. It's a name sheet. It's a bunch of names of people who have submitted their names. Ooh, I think we got some good ones here. And by the way, if you want to get maybe mentioned in one of these future episodes, at RJ Story Break on Twitter. Okay, here we go. Tom Keeley, right? Strapping, just like super buff, just pecs for days, hint of a six pack, that type of thing. He's torn, you know.
So Tom Keeley's our main character, main guy.
He's hacking his way through the jungle.
One minor thing. Can at least the main guy, can we go back to like, we were talking about this before, like the men of the Harrison Ford bodies.
The schlub hunk.
Well, like he's not a schlub. I love that. That's like the schlub hunk. That's a very fit person. Those people are fit. They just literally don't dehydrate themselves. That their skin sucks into their six pack. Which, if you talk to Jimmy or anybody who does this stuff, the way Chris Hemsworth and those guys like look at like that.
Oh, yeah,
it's like they know
thirsty.
What day is shirtless, and then they just like
they're just
starve themselves.
They're just very thirsty
in order for literally the skin to suck against their muscles because they're dehydrated. You know, like a good like Clark Gable, like a guy who's got six pack, but you know he still drinks
boy.
A beer.
A beefy boy, you know, a beefy boy who isn't afraid of pepperoni pizza. All right, so Tom Keeley, right? Imagine
they're Rosamund Pike from The Gone Girl.
So Tom is hacking his way through the jungle. It's like doo-doo-doo. It's like oh traps. He ducks out. You know, it's like. And you're watching, you're like, all right, okay, it's like a video Indiana Jones thing, but the lighting's just a little bit off. Like, it's just like a little corny. And like, he goes in, and it's like this super big, like, intro, like an Indiana Jones, like, stealing thing intro. But then you reveal that it's actually like this super corny stage show on the cruise. And they're guys, like, if you want this treasure hunting experience with our strapping boy Tom here, like, get sign up for this thing. It's only $100 a person, you know? And it's and he does the bow, and you're just like, you know, and he goes and he's like in backstage getting changed, taking his makeup off, and he looks and there's the pictures of him back in the real days when he was a real adventurer.
I always remember how you tell me that the Medieval Times dudes just slay.
Oh my god, the Medieval Times dudes
slay. I love that his life is essentially just on this cruise. cruise ship, he just sleeps around. He just, guys are like, ooh, and he's like, yeah, I used to be a real treasure hunter. He's like, all right. And then, like, that's his life. He's just drunk and having sex and one night stands and on a cruise ship, just floating his life away. Mm-hmm. And then he goes
adrift, if you will.
And then he just hops on a real island that just reminds him of what it was like to be a real treasure hunter. And then he just watches all these people just get off on their cruise ship and walk around these beaten paths and have a fun time. Like, oh, watch out, there's a snake. If you get a snake bite, go ahead and go to the medical facility.
But down on his luck, adrift on these, you know, and in the raucous, you know, world of cruising, and both literally and figuratively.
Okay.
So, all right. So that's Tom Keeley.
Let's get the other
adventurer.
Names.
So yeah, give me the two others. So we've got Tom's ex.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Darwin Benjamin.
Darwin Benjamin.
Thank you,
okay.
Darwin.
Benjamin Darwin or Darwin Benjamin?
Darwin Benjamin.
Darwin Benjamin. That would be the ex-boyfriend. And then one more.
Do you need an evil-sounding-ish name?
No, we need, this is the dopey. Oh, yeah. Give us an evil name and we'll figure out what to do with it.
Okay.
Sorry, whoever's name this is.
But this is, the only reason why Jake von Schumacher, the only reason why is because you got that van in there. When the moment you're a von blank, it's like, ooh, it could be you're a family that sings real nice, or you could be an evil villain.
Okay, Jake von Schumacher. All right, well, let's have Jake be the new guy. Jake is heir to the von Schumacher fortune, which was made off of Batman and Robin royalties.
And singing in the Alps.
And singing in the Alps. Okay, yeah, it's like Ricola. But it's like von Schumacher brand, like
cough drops or something.
Drops.
Yeah.
This is just vague free European association, whatever. Yeah.
This is about the closest Joel you can Schumacher get to joke. Stereotyping just Europeans. Like, they're in the mountains and there's cough drops, I guess.
Okay, so Jake von Schumacher is the dopey new guy, right? And so Jake wants to ask Darwin to marry him, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Like, that's what he's super nervous about. And he wants to prove, because he knows that Darwin has this fucking radical past as an adventurer. And Jake's like, golly gee whiz, like, I don't know if I'm like, you know, it's like Grace Kelly in Rear Window, if you remember that. Because Jimmy Stewart's like this badass war photographer and she's his girlfriend. And she like kind of wants to prove that, like, no, like, I'm not just some like, you know, spoiled rich kid, like, I can fucking hang.
Yeah.
So I think that's Jake's thing. He wants to prove, he wants to climb to the top of Fireball Island and then propose.
Jake's movie, if this was Jake's movie, it'd be like in a treasure hunt version of Chasing Amy. He realizes his new boyfriend has a much more adventurous lifestyle than he does now. Mm-hmm. But instead of sexual, it's also sexual, but also the treasure hunting lifestyle.
Oh, so you're saying Jake doesn't know that Darwin used to be a treasure hunter?
No, I mean, this is like second act of Chasing Amy, where he finds out that Amy is, you know. That's the whole thing of Chasing Amy. He's got this new
she's
girlfriend.
She's a treasure hunter?
No, she's you know, had three sons and has all this, like, has this adventurous sexual lifestyle. He used to be a lesbian and all this stuff, and he's really insecure about it.
Okay, so I don't understand what
So Jake finds out that Darwin was a treasure hunter and has a big adventurous lifestyle and did all this crazy stuff, and he's insecure about it, so he wants to kind of, that's what he's doing, right? He's going on a treasure hunt to kind of prove that he is a man also and can
that
have
feels
this
like
fun
a setup.
Experience.
That feels like a setup.
Yeah, but that doesn't feel like a turn. Yeah, that feels like the setup.
Yeah, I'm saying if this was Jake's movie. But anyways. So what Jake's going through.
All right. Wants to prove himself.
And,
like,
and he's just a dope, because clearly going on this vacationed adventure is not going to prove to Darwin. And also, the reason Darwin likes Jake is because he's not that.
Yeah, right.
Like,
he's
already experienced, you know, he already had a treasure hunting boyfriend or whatnot. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. He likes Jake for who he is or doesn't.
All right. So now you've got Tom and Darwin, right?
Yes.
Who used to be a gruesome twosome. They used to fucking hunt treasure together, right? That's what we're saying.
It's like if Scully and Nate were just lovers. From Uncharted.
Scully and, I thought you were saying Scully and Mulder? Like,
Scully and Nathan Drake were just lovers. We're essentially making Scully also Elaine.
We're
combining them.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Actually, I actually love that, because I would totally do that Jake and Darwin are both older.
That'd be
fun. I would do that Darwin was kind of like Tom Keeley's, like, they were like, it was like, you know, there might be a little bit of a, it might be a bit of a May December romance. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe not.
Gay Uncharted, brought to you by Story Break. Okay.
Clark Gable and Harrison Ford would have been a good couple. So that's
just
what I'm
imagining. Let's be honest. Like, Clark Gable and Harrison Ford just like just smoldering at each other. Oof.
That's just who I'm imagining. These,
it's
these
just
two
Gregory Peck and Cary Grant.
Gregory Peck's, am I right?
Okay.
Woo.
All right.
Did
so,
he have pecs? You guys work on the story. I'm going to just Google Gregory.
He was another
Peck
one
picks.
Of those guys that had, like, you know, the old man physique. Do you know what I mean? Like the old timey
You know why they didn't need those six packs? Because they had those pants that went over the belly button.
Yeah, they had their pants went all the way up to their nose.
Yeah, so you'd hide four of the two pack, four of the six packs anyways.
No joke. As you said that, like I'm looking at, I literally Googled Gregory Peck pecs. As you said that, I clicked on the image where his jeans are above his belly button.
Yeah, that's what those old pants were like.
It's like those high rise jeans that are super popular now.
And he's sweaty. Got pickaxe and he's sweaty. All right, I got my image.
He's got that Robert Mitchum body. All right. Let's
Mitchum
zero
from
in.
Mad Men? Because, I mean...
Okay, we need to focus. We could talk about hot old guys all day. All right. Let's circle the wagons here, people. You got Tom Keeley. You got Darwin Benjamin. You got Jake Von Schumacher. All right, so we're saying that Tom... So you would do Fireball Island, it was a legend for a long time, right? And then people don't even know if the stories are true. Then it was true, but they're like, it's like when Geraldo opened Al Capone's tomb. Yeah. They're just like, it's all a bunch of bullshit. You know, like it was
Will, I want to point out that Geraldo opened Al Capone's vault. Al Capone wasn't buried like a pharaoh in the middle of Chicago, and then he opened up his tomb like some archaeological explorer.
I like 300 years from now, there will only be Al Capone's vault tomb.
The legend of Al Capone's tomb. I apologize for nothing. That's more interesting than what actually happened.
Yes, they found this island and they're like, it's here, but it's just an island.
Okay, so I know what Jake's doing. What is Darwin doing? Does Darwin realize? Maybe Darwin doesn't.
Yes. I think it's more interesting because that gives it, a secret. Tom knows something's up. Darwin's trying to play it straight because also Darwin is still competitive with Tom. Darwin came here. I feel like Darwin found out something. He found the mystery, right? If this was an Uncharted game, he found out. It's like, the reason nobody thinks this island has anything is because they didn't realize you have to blank. So he's come here knowing there's something. And then what's the complication? Tom's there. So he's like, well, shoot. Like, Tom's going to know I'm sniffing around. So he's trying to play it straight. Like, I'm just settling down. I'm not here. It's like, it's a dumb island or whatnot. But Tom doesn't buy it because Tom knows. Like, Tom sees Darwin, with a map
with all your maps then? Well, I like looking at maps.
Okay, so I think you would do previously, the two of them, I'm trying to figure out what happened between the two of them, like their history then. At any rate, you would do that. Okay, because you would do that they had a falling out. That was always the thing. They always wanted to find Fireball Island, right? Like then you would do, it got discovered. Or maybe they thought, they had some cockamamie idea that there really was treasure on Fireball Island, right? So that's how they met. Was like they were both looking for the real treasure on Fireball Island, right? And then you would do, they had this affair. Someone broke someone's heart. We'll have to get into the background or whatever that is in a second. But maybe it's like Darwin left and then Darwin figured it out. Right. Mm-hmm. He figured out the secret. He looked at but now Darwin's broke. He spent all his money.
Yes.
He needs money to go on an excursion to Fireball Island again. Yes. So then he starts charming the wealthy and naive Jake Von Schumacher, right? And becoming his new boyfriend. And then he's like, let's go on a vacation to, Fireball Island, right? He's like, that sounds like fun. Like,
I like Darwin fucked up so much that it's like, it's not just because he needs some cash, but he needs cash. He's like, he needed a new ID because he's been he'll be arrested if he shows up in the country.
He's
that
a fake passport. Fireball,
he has a fake passport. Like he had to do. He has his whole dangerous past.
I got it. Mm-hmm. In the early days of Fireball Island, after they discovered it, right? Like there were a bunch of treasure hunters showed up to look for the treasure, right? Yeah. And that's how they met. And then you would do that. They had this affair. They worked together. And then, but again, like one by one, everyone stopped. Everyone gave up on the island, right?
There
except
were
for
bees,
Tom, because Tom Keeley is a dreamer, damn it, and he knows that treasure's somewhere, right? And then eventually, Darwin was like, "I can't watch you do this to yourself anymore. I'm giving up too. Like I'm throwing in my lot with another band of treasure hunters. We're gonna go look for these other treasures, right?" And then so Tom never gave up on the island. That's why he's still there. But hear me out.
No, this is all good.
Darwin went off exploring around the world, and then again, they broke up, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, Tom, the night Tom was going to propose, Darwin broke his heart and said, "I'm leaving," right?
Yeah.
So then you do Darwin, went around the world seeking treasure everywhere else, and then again, got into scrapes and bar fights and lost everything, but then discovered the secret of Fireball Island in some book in the back of some shop in some weird market in the middle of nowhere. And so then he's like, holy shit. And so this has all been about getting back to Fireball yes. Island for him.
I would do Tom Keeley was the dreamer. Darwin was the pragmatist.
Yeah, yeah.
Darwin was the one who did it for the money, ultimately. Like, they both love treasure, but Tom Keeley was more about, he's more Indiana Jones. He was more excited by it. But that would mean he was more obsessive. Like, ultimately, Darwin would be like, this is losing us money. Yeah, and yes, he found some better deal. I think your past, your Casablanca-type moment, it reminds me of... Darwin essentially gave him a choice. It's like, you got to get off this island. We got to go. We can spend a life together. Like, there's this group of treasure hunters. There's something we can hunt together. And Tom's like, no, like, we're so close. I can't leave this island. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially gave him, it's the island or me sort of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might even do Tom in his mind. He wanted to find the treasure and then propose to him, right? It reminds me of the Chandler where Chandler like wants to have this great proposal to Monica. And then as he's like, you know, tricking her to do this great proposal, she starts falling for Richard again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that. In his mind, he's like, look, just trust me. Just come with me to this island today, you know, and then we'll figure it out. He's like, no, it's the island or me. And he's like, he wanted to like propose to him that day. And then Darwin left instead. And they just both broke. He blames Darwin for leaving when he's going to propose to him. Darwin's like, you chose the island over me. And they both essentially
you
they
would
had
do
this tragic.
You would do, there is a Richard-esque character looming over that. That
yes.
is like, you know, like, oh, I see. It's really about him, isn't
yes,
it? You know,
yes.
And as Tom's ego got to him. You yes. know what I mean?
So Darwin couldn't just like, he's like, if you really wanted to propose to me, it didn't have to be a perfect proposal. I just wanted you to propose to me.
Yeah,
but Tom's
yeah.
a dreamer. And then Darwin's pragmatism. And Darwin's like, we were just going to die on this island. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So Darwin gave up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun.
To sum it up succinctly, Tom would be like, hey, 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 that belongs in the museum. And then Darwin would be like, hey, hey, hold on, that belongs in the museum. And Tom was like, that belongs in the museum.
I don't understand.
Just think about it. You know, you'll get it.
If you get it, explain it to me and Matt.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Tweet us. Tweet at us.
Okay. All right. So you got something there.
Yeah, that's
okay.
great.
Okay. So, all right. So Tom, and basically, Tom has more or less, he's stuck on the island.
Yes.
He's given up on the search, right? And now
yes.
he's just sleeping
well,
around.
Well, but I like the idea that if you want to keep the cruise ship side of it, I don't know if we're losing that or not.
I think he's just on the island. I think cruise ships come to the island.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, that's my point. Like, yeah, yeah, that's my
but
point.
But I don't
it's
think
like,
he needs to be on a cruise ship. I think it's important for the story that Tom never left the island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The,
you can still do your intro by like, I feel like when
he's
they
doing
show,
this,
yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
have
yeah.
A, they have a campsite with, you know, they have, you know, it's like my wife went on safari and they have like a really nice camp, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah. I mean point yeah. being is that he has become this sort of steward of the island now, right? Like, and that's how he's making ends meet and paying the bills and feeding himself is by doing these crappy
yes.
tourist
Carnival
tours.
Cruises bought May started a little resort on Fireball Island
yep.
and he is the local guy.
Yeah,
who,
yeah, yeah.
yeah, he takes you on the treasure tour and yep. like all of the blah blah blah.
He
blah,
is
blah.
Stuck in the past and he has no dreams anymore. If he yeah. was a dreamer now, again, he doesn't believe in romance, he just has one night stands. He doesn't believe in treasure, he just believes in sending people to the same beaten path. Again, he used to travel the path less. He used to go the path less travel. Now he literally just follows the same path every single day over and over
every
again.
Time that the tour walks by, takes the path, they walk by this tree with the initials TK.
Yes.
DB.
Because he was the one who originally hacked that path out in the first place,
yep.
right?
Yeah, 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 yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Very good.
Okay, so here's what I would say. All right, so that's good. I like that. And then you would do, so act one, he's sulking on the island. Jake and Darwin show up, right? And Jake is, you know, doting over Darwin. And Darwin makes an excuse to slip out because Darwin has met, Darwin has arranged for like a smuggler to meet him here with the supplies he's going to need
yeah.
to go hack it into the island on his own, right? Like with his AK-47 and his machete and shit. Like, and meanwhile, Jake is like, oh, I'm going to surprise Darwin with a fun tour of the island. I'll go to this local guy and arrange for a tour for me and my boyfriend. And he says, yeah, that sounds great. And meanwhile, Darwin has gotten all his gear in his bag, and then all three characters meet, right? And it's like
yes.
the like,
oh, you know what's
shit.
Fun with that, by the way, is that if we have Darwin's change his name, right, is that Jake knows him as Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
but our boy Tom knows him as Darwin. It's like, Darwin Benjamin? Get it?
So, oh, yeah, or like his name Benny.
Or whatever, right, yeah, yeah.
Benny? You're Darwin. It's like, yeah, I know, Jake likes calling me Benny.
Yeah.
He's like, ugh.
It's like, also, I've had to change my name.
I called you Darwin because yours was the most natural selection I ever made.
I love this so much because I feel like this island is just, this island is literally a metaphor for their love. It's like, their love is dormant and needs to be reawakened. And again, Tom was this dreamer and now he's stuck in the past. He's just sitting on this
yeah,
island
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And okay. I also like, the thing that Darwin would be most disappointed by, it would be like, you have this moment where Tom doesn't want to believe there's a treasure here because having a dream and going for something means you could get hurt. And he's like, don't play like right. He'd be like, don't play with me. Like, I've been on this island for 10 years or whatever. There's nothing to look for. You have that moment where you know, Tom for the first time, you know, goes down a path he hasn't before. He starts looking at the island in a different way, and he's like, you better not hurt me again, Darwin. Yeah.
All right. 20, okay. 20 minutes left, guys.
Okay, okay, okay. So here's what I was thinking. It feels like Act 1 is, yes, all are set up, and then they meet, right?
Yes.
And then Act 2 is the expedition, right? Like, they go out. And because the first part of this is like, you have to perform this ritual at this one spot on the island to activate to get the treasure, to awaken the island,
yeah.
Right? And so this expedition is like a three-day, it's a three-day camping excursion into the heart of the island. And then it's not just the three of them. There's like, it's a whole group, right? So then you have like a couple of kids. You've got like this Midwestern American family along for the adventure.
Yes.
That is like in the middle of this like crazy love triangle that's going on. Something like that, anyway, because then you can have...
Well, they're the ones taking pictures.
Yeah, the tourists, essentially. Yeah. Like so I think that's a fun heat. So what I would do then is you do that... end of Act 2, like that first night, like that's where he finally confronts Darwin, right? Because before then, they're just being weird to each other, right? Because it's like, I don't know if I want to, you know, say that I know this person or X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah.
And then they each, you know, like Darwin explains like, oh, I'm here to do this ritual, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'm sorry, like as your tour guide, I'm not allowed to have like he takes his shit, right? Because he's like, you're not going fucking looking for this treasure, fuck you, right? And then Darwin's pissed at him. So then but that night, Tom is tossing and turning and he can't stop thinking about the things Darwin said. Yeah. And so he sneaks off by himself to go perform the ritual. And of course, Darwin follows him. And then they wind up doing the ritual and awakening the island.
Yeah.
And then so you do, now the island is full of like super dangerous shit, right? Like, you know, like you got your snakes and your lava and your whatever, right? Like they awaken the island, all the treasure is coming up everywhere. And then you
out of the ground even.
Coming out of the ground. And then what you also do is now the hunt is back on. Like now you could even do other treasure hunters are showing up. Like because word gets out that this is going on.
And they're stealing from each other, a mechanic in the game.
Yes. Okay, that's very good. Here, bear with me. I think I kind of like that they awaken the island together.
Yeah.
So you could do, just bear with me. Also, like your second act, I feel like just to kind of use some of the game mechanic is that there's like three parts of the island and there's different things. I like the idea that the first day they're going on their trip and, you know, they go down the blue path. And then, you know, all of a sudden, Darwin starts walking the other way. He's like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I wanted to go see Volcar. He's like, oh, no, that's the third day. He's like, He's like, why are you so interested in seeing Volcar? I thought you were just here with your new boyfriend. I didn't know you wanted to see that. So he's suspicious. I like that, Tom, you have this adventurous scene where Darwin wakes up in the middle of the night and he runs and he goes up to Volcar and he pulls out his map and he like turns his dial and all this stuff and he reaches in. And there's nothing. And all of a sudden he turns around and it's Tommy. He's holding this like artifact. He's like looking for this. And he's like, ugh. He's like, you don't think I found this also? He's like, I know exactly what to do this. What are you doing? There's nothing there. He's like, oh, really? Did he know that? Like Tom knows Darwin knows the next step.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, but did you ever do this? He's like, no, I didn't. He's like, that's how you awaken it. And it's like, I like that Tom, like, of course Tom found this thing also. Like Tom And he's like, are you serious? And they get all excited together for a moment. They look at each other. He's like, all right, let's give it a shot. And then they together, like, put, like, see if it opens the
door.
Do you
want them working together in Act 1?
I don't know if they're working together so much as, it's less working together than...
a begrudging respect.
Yeah, like he found it, or maybe even Tom says, don't do it, there's nothing there, I've looked and all this stuff, or whatever. I'm trying to think.
The only thing I would say, I wouldn't make that the big... So, okay, the centerpiece of Fireball Island is the big skull cave, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're right, it shouldn't be
that's
that.
That's the climax.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is, like, the first step, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
the statue of the two lovers, or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then there's some key. Yeah, so I like that Tom found the key forever ago,
yeah, yeah.
and then the...
He missed something stupid. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
right, Darwin would throw in his face, like, oh, you are always... You're never the one for the details, or something like this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So yeah, the second act is they awaken, right? The end of the second act is they awaken the island.
Yes. Whether that's the two of them together, I could also see a world where Darwin leaves and then Tom is curious and Tom does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. The other thing I would say is that, again, like the thing, the dynamic I always love in Twister or in His Girl Friday, again, it's I think you need to figure out who wants what,
yeah.
right? Like in His Girl Friday, Cary Grant wants his top reporter back. Like he wants... Rosalind Russell,
mm-hmm.
right? Is it Rosalind Russell?
I don't know.
Anyway, he wants Hildy Johnson back, you know, like, and the, so like that is his scheme. That's what he is trying to do.
Yes.
And then you have, she wants to chase down this great newspaper story. Like she's, you know, trying to figure this thing out. So like what do you want the two of them to want essentially? Does Tom agree to go on this adventure thinking he's going to be able to win Darwin back? Is that secretly his goal? And then Darwin is just here, like not wanting to deal with his ex-boyfriend, but wanting to find the treasure? Is that kind of the dynamic?
I think if you're going to just for the
because that at least
it,
gives a little bit more heat where Tom is being the charming heel. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I think for the sake of it, you would do if you're going to do Casablanca as because it just seems like he's a little bit of that like dead character inside. I think secretly he wants Darwin back. Right. Because
yes.
Then if it's going to be about the ring, it's going to be about letting it go, letting him go. Like he can, like he never got over this breakup, essentially.
Again, just in terms of what I was thinking, is that you do like the vibe. Tom is like, just couldn't stay away from me, could you? Just had to come back. Like, yeah. I knew you'd come back, hadn't had, because you love me or whatever. And
yeah,
Darwin's
yeah.
like, let me get this straight. I'm here for the fucking treasure. And like, come on, we both know there's no treasure. Why don't we just drop the pretenses?
Yes.
You want me back?
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the.
Yes,
and then,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, and Darwin's like, no treasure? Watch this. I'll show you. And then opens the thing and it
yes.
activates the fucking.
I like that because I like if Tom wants Darwin back,
yeah.
he's afraid of getting hurt. So his defense is to act cocky and like, oh, you want me back or whatever. Whereas
yeah.
like he's the one who does. He's still hanging on to the ring.
He's the one who's got the ring. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, 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 yes,
yes. Yes. And Darwin wants Darwin. And again, similarly, like Darwin's here for the treasure. But it's like, again, Darwin also probably thinks deep down Darwin, like getting the treasure is the only way. He hasn't gone over Tom yet either. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like getting
yeah.
a treasure and proving he's the best treasure hunter or whatever is like a way for him to move on.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
And, you know, then settling down with Jake or whatever. And then Jake recently escaped the Nazis, and he writes really important literature. And it's really important that he gets off the island safe and sound.
Okay. All right. So, the island activates, right?
Yes.
And so then they're like, huh, like there's a lot of smoke coming out of the old fucking skullhead
yeah.
on the island.
The
right?
skullhead always used to be smoking.
Do they realize? So what? And then they start finding treasure, right? Like treasure just starts showing up. Like they find
yes.
like, hey, the
doubloons,
next day
yeah.
the kid goes to take a whiz, and then the kid sees like, you know.
And he whizzes on some pirate gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I like that each treasure has a trap, right?
Yes.
Like every treasure, like if you take it, there's something bad is going to happen
yes.
as a result, right?
Yes.
The kid gets really real. Like the kid's like, oh, I found some pirate gold. I peed on it. And then it's like, but then the bees got him.
Yeah.
And
no,
it's like, and then he died from anaphylactic shock.
Some guy grabs, you know, this like ruby jewel and then a tiger just comes flying out of the trees and eats him.
Okay, so what does the third act become about? So for Darwin has activated the
I think
thing,
it's the
right?
journey to Volcar.
But what are they going to Volcar
they
for?
Gotta be, it's got to be like all of this treasure's bullshit. There's one jewel.
Yeah, they want the Volcar ruby.
The real thing. That's worth 10 of these islands. That's
which,
the only thing that
which
matters.
Which you would say like, which maybe they'll, again, the mystery that they'll find out or whatever you're going to do the backstory of the island we're talking about is like the ruby of Volcar is really like, the pirate's necklace, again, the first treasure that was
yeah,
left there
yeah.
on the island. What you could do is like it's a pirate's like it's not some giant ruby. Oh,
her name was Ruby.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's a locket
of a girl named Ruby.
Yes, and it's like this is the first victim of somebody who cared about treasure more than love. And that's the Ruby of Volcar.
And by the way, you do that fun thing where it's like they barely get. You do the. Oh my god, you see it. It's like they get out. It's like we didn't get the treasure, and then like one of them's like, "Well, what about this?" And he opens a code up, and he's been stealing gold coins all along the way, or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, so they've awakened the vengeful spirit of the island.
Yes.
There's, you know, okay, so now it feels like there's got to be a turn. What gets, okay, so I get why Darwin wants to go. Because, okay, so fucking, what's his face? The other guy. What's his
Jake.
Name? Jake, I feel like at first would be like, let's get the hell out of here. This is
yes.
dangerous, right? But then Darwin would kind of, have to come clean to Jake. Right? And
yes.
be like, I'm here. Look, there's a treasure. No, Jake, there's this treasure on this island, right?
Yes.
Like, and blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry I lied to you, honey, and X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, like, but this is really important to me. Like, this could be the archaeological find of, you know,
the millennia.
And then Jake is like, all right, if it's important to you, it's important to me. And again, Jake secretly wants to prove himself. Like,
exactly.
He's like,
Jake's primary want is to prove that he's, you know, he's as adventurous and awesome as, Darwin is, or as Tom, his ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So once Tom's like, huh, okay, well, why don't you go home with your, you know, domesticated husband or whatever, Jake's like, like, we're going, let's go, sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
he wants
to. And then Tom is going because Tom is hoping to win Darwin's heart.
Yes.
Okay, but Tom is pretending that it's all about money.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely excited about the ruby, too, but, like, his ultimate want this whole time is to get Darwin back.
And also, I think he's also thinking a little bit, it's like, well, look, this other guy's not going to be able to hack it through these, you know, dense jungle thickets,
well, in that case, I would do that. Darwin is like the more book smart one, and Jake is the Jake was always the one, the navigator. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, not Jake. Tom was Tom. The two-fisted, like, they, Darwin can't, I think it has to be, Darwin can't get to the Skull of Volcar on his own, right? Like, otherwise they would just bail on Tom. Yeah. Like, the, like, right, or it would be a race between
There's a lot of, there's a lot of, like, pressure points that there's two of them and two people need to stand on them in order for the doors to open.
Yeah, it's like,
this is definitely like a two-player, like,
this is a two-player co-op adventure.
Like, okay.
All right, so Tom's like, all right, we split it 50-50 and then I never want to see you again or whatever. Yeah, or it's like, yeah. And then, so then the two of them are going to go on this adventure.
By the way, and they're hacking off pirates along the way. There's been, like, you know, there's more people on the island. They're fighting a whole band.
Deadly bees, super snakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Real quick, we're about 10 minutes left. But yes, that's the central question. How does it end here?
Yeah.
Well, so you got to do the turn, and then you have to figure out what the climax is.
Yeah.
All right. So I like that there's a race on now. Like, you could do, like, or what happens to this family that went on the hike with them?
Yeah.
Do they bail to go, like, is this like every tourist on the island is just flooding the place?
Well,
to
go because
find
there's
this
just gold
now?
Everywhere.
It's, yeah.
And then their Instagram posts cause pirates from all around the world to show up.
I would do even that maybe the cruise ship or whatever got them there is away or can't get in there. I would do that kind of like the game. Here's what I was thinking, like, in terms of, like, action wise. I feel like they get there and then there's a race off the island. The classic beginning of Metroid Prime or a million, you know, you well, do your thing and then you got to escape.
So yeah, the helipad.
Yes, yeah. The helicopter is going to leave, right? So I guess the question is what happens? What, working backwards, do Tom, like, what happens with Tom and Darwin?
I like this idea that we came up with that Tom sacrifices the treasury, lets Darwin go.
Okay, so they don't end up together.
No, I think it's Rick and Ilsa. Like, I think the real relationship is Jake and Darwin. Like, you know what I mean? And I think Jake proves himself as someone who is
worthy,
you know,
of it.
Well, yeah. And then I think the ultimate move for Jake is to be like, you know what? Like, maybe I don't need you. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I don't need, you know, to be chasing. Like, again, it's like, I need to be my own man, essentially. Right.
What I could see is something like, maybe Jake gets, I'm wondering if
Jake
it can
gets
be,
hurt. I think.
Yes. I think the final, the turn is Tom gives up the treasure, his proposal, and a chance to get the chance, you know, to be famous again or get the ruby or any chance with Darwin in order to give them enough time for them to escape and save Jake. Right.
All
right.
So then here's what I would do in terms of a romance. I feel like you got the adventure to Volcar, right?
Yeah.
And then along the adventure, you would do Tom and Darwin's feelings for each other start to build again, right?
Yeah.
And then you would do, and again, they seem to have this connection, right? That Jake feels totally outside of, because the two of them are having these amazing discoveries and Jake feels shitty about it, right? And then you would do, like, the eve before they get to Volcar Island, there's the campfire, right? And then Jake falls asleep, and then you would do Tom and Darwin, like, kiss or something that. And then Jake sees it. Right.
Yes.
And then Jake is brokenhearted. And then, what that inspires the next day is Jake in a rash, like, wanting to prove himself. Or again, it's like, they spring a trap at the fucking, at the cave.
The boulder
or whatever. Jake dives in front of it and gets hurt or gets poisoned or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Darwin realizes, like, what he's losing. Essentially, I don't know. I'm trying to, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like what essentially you get to is, like, I feel like both Tom, because Tom and Darwin ultimately aren't great for each other, right?
No. Yeah.
So it'd be like whatever happens at the ring moment or leading up to that, or when they get into Volcar, and it's, you know, it's like it's the Golem Sam Frodo moment sort of thing, is that you would do Tom and Darwin both essentially almost die to first one there, and Jake essentially sacrifices himself to save both of them, and it's like,
we're
Jake's
fucking idiots. Uh-huh. Because you gotta do that. There's other treasure hunters, right?
Yeah.
So you get your bad guy pirates. Jake gets kidnapped by the bad guy pirates.
Yes.
They gotta go rescue Jake from the bad guy pirates, right? Like something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I wouldn't do the ring. The ring should be the final, like,
thing. The ring is like you're about to escape from the island. Again, the whole island is exploding. The helicopter's coming in. And, like, it's got to be something like that.
Yes, I would do they get there and, like, they have a chance to essentially get all their treasure and get the ruby. But then they see what the ruby is and then they realize, like, Tom's like, shit.
Yeah,
love. Like, we need to go save Jake.
And Indiana Jones fashion, by the way, you have that the pirate captain has been, like, you know, in a thorn in their side the whole time, and they're fending them off, and there's all, you know, right? Like, you need to kind of set that up earlier.
But Act 3 is the race to Volcar, right? Yeah. And so then you have idiot tourists running around the island picking up random treasures, right? And as every time they do that, they anger Volcar more. So everyone, all of the serious treasure hunters know it's only a matter of time till Volcar erupts.
Yes.
And this whole island gets destroyed and they lose their chance for another millennia or whatever, right? So then you do that, Yeah, oh, yeah. So, yeah, back in the day, Tom and Darwin ran afoul of a bloodthirsty pirate, yes, right? Who was also in hunting for the treasure, and they screwed him over to get ahead, yeah, or something like that. Or, like, there was some bad shit went down, right?
It so should be the person that Darwin left Tom for, even.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So then that guy shows up at the island, and he's like, where's Keely? Where's Benjamin? Like, and so he and his goons are fucking going straight for it. So that's the group they're racing against, yes, right? Because the bad guy pirate catches up with the family, right?
Yes.
And you would even do, like, that first, again, because every treasure is a trap, that's one of the traps. They take a treasure, and then this fucking guy hears about it in a dream or whatever. It's like, the island's calling to me or whatever. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, it's simple, too. What you do is, I was like, what do the pirates have? Why do they need Jake? Is the pirates, once they get there, and they're all looking for the treasure, and, like, they find out it's just the ruby, the pirates are like, Jake, shit. They're like, Jake's rich.
Yeah, Jake's rich. They're like a ransom.
They're like, shit, we got our treasure. They take Jake. They're going to ransom him.
Yeah,
to his dad.
Family will
pay millions.
And that also points out that Darwin's not with Jake. Tom thinks Darwin's with Jake just for the money or whatever. And it's like, clearly not. It's like, I could have gotten the money. I'm always for the treasure hunt. But yes, they need to go save Jake because the pirates are like, well, screw this. This treasure is bullshit. And they take Jake.
What I love too is the secret of the treasure of the island.
Yes.
Is that it's all about what is treasure? What makes something treasure? And love is what makes something treasure, right?
Like, you treasure it.
Yeah, because you
treasure it. Why do we like gold?
So, like, there are obviously a lot of valuable items, but all of the items they realize, like, there are items that have some sort of sentimental value to whoever lost, right?
Yes.
So that's the secret of they're going on the adventure, right? They're dodging traps, they're doing stuff. They're falling in love. And then, yes, the eve before they get to Volcar, right, they have at night, they're like, listen, you know that's going to be the most dangerous thing yet. If you really care about fucking Jake, you'll cut him loose and you and I will go. Like, you know this is your life. Like, this is what you know. And so the two of them agree to leave Jake behind and go for the treasure themselves. And then, Darwin writes like a Dear John letter to Jake, right?
Yes.
Jake's heartbroken. And then as Jake's reading the letter, a bunch of camo-clad dudes with army boots step up to him, and it's the bad guy pirate who captures him, right? All right. So then they go to Volcar. Your midpoint is they find the treasure. It's just this worthless old locket, right? And they're like, fuck, we got nothing. They come out and they realize Jake's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Jake's twisted his ankle. Jake really wanted to be there with them. And Tom knows that Jake was going to propose at Fireball Island.
Yeah.
That's what you do, because Jake reveals to Tom that he was going to propose. So Tom is like, let's go to Fireball Island and get the treasure by ourselves.
It's the classic. Jake hurts his ankle right when they're going to climb up a cliff. He's like, you guys go on without me. You know, have a great time. Go get the treasure. And then you have that while they're finding the ruby, you cut back to Jake, you know, in the forest waiting for them with his hurt leg.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden shadows come over him and it's the pirates. And
me, the choice I would do there is Tom fucks over Jake.
Yes.
To get time alone with Darwin.
Yes.
Right. So then they get up there and it's just this worthless locket. They come back. Jake's been kidnapped. And guess what? The island's about to fucking erupt.
Yes.
Right. And so then it's like Darwin realizes Darwin realizes I've been a fool. I've got to go save Jake. Tom is starting to realize, shit. Like, fucking Darwin, you know, like, Darwin really loves this other guy. They go off and rescue Jake from the pirates and this chase off the island, right? It's this escape from the island. And then what I would do is they all get onto the helicopter. The helicopter's flying out, and then some sort of force seems to be keeping the helicopter from escaping the eruption zone. And they're like, it's some treasure. It's like, you know, like, we need to sacrifice the treasure. We don't have any treasure. He's like, I have a treasure, and it's the ring. And he throws the ring into the volcano, and then disappears into the sea.
It's literally they're flying away, and they're like hovering over the center of the volcano.
Yeah, like, we're in some sort of vortex.
That's perfect. I'd say the one thing is, you just to give it a little bit of extra juice, you would do the pirates who stole Jake don't know the island's about to explode, so they literally have the choice, get back to the helicopter or go and try to get Jake also, right? Like, the pirates are stuck in some cove and they're like, hey, we got Jake, make the call, and they're like, so like,
it's an extra danger.
So like, whatever, Jake, you know, Jake, you know, Jake
will
adventure.
Be fine. His dad's going to help rescue him or whatever.
You know
they're as good as dead. We've got
to
get
there. So Tom and Darwin go to save him, and they barely make it off the island. And then, yes, they get stuck. And Tom's got to let go of his proposal and tell Darwin, like, Jake's good for you, man. I hope you two have a great life.
Two minutes left. 2 minutes left. What is...
And then Jake goes looking for his next... Tom goes looking for his next treasure.
Yeah, where's Tom going after all this?
He goes looking for... There's another island called Fireball Island 2.
Yes. Well, that's what Darwin asks him, and Tom says, essentially, Tom starts the movie being like, there's no more treasure in this world.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm going to go explore, yeah.
Yeah, and then Darwin's like, where are you going to go? He's like, you know, there's always treasure to be found. And it's like, it's a metaphor. He's saying in a metaphorical treasure.
Yeah. You know what I like is, I like the idea that, I'm revising the opening scene. The opening scene is a jet ski based kind of like thing, and the end is him on a beach somewhere, and it's like, where are you going? And it's like, there's treasure still. There's no more treasure in this world. Well, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna find it. And then he just guns his jet ski into the sunset. He's like, And then as he's like going away and they're looking, it's like, wait, where is he going?
Just into the ocean?
Just into the ocean on a jet ski? That doesn't seem...
just like, wait, that's the end of the movie.
The end of the movie.
Okay, yeah. I was like, that's the beginning of the movie?
Well, there you go, guys. Fireball Island.
All right.
Good ass movie.
Yeah. What a fun romping adventure movie, man.
Just again points out that, like, I don't know what it is about adventure movies today, but like, get some romance in those movies.
Let's get some romance back.
Like, come on.
Yeah. I want some steam. I want some steam on them buns.
They totally go through a super steamy cave. Like the cave of steam.
So they just have to slowly take off all their clothes.
Oh, it's a very steamy cave. And then the moment they get out, they're like, well, it's fine now, so we can put
on. You definitely have that classic thing where Jake finally takes off his shirt and they're all like,
Damn!
He's the one that looks like Chris Hemsworth. They all got pudgy 1940s bods.
Jake's got that rich guy personal trainer bod.
Yes. That personal trainer eat bok choy every day bod. Yeah. All right, folks. I like that movie. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Hang tight.
Hey everyone, it's John Roderick from the Friendly Fire Podcast, here with Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison.
When was the last time you really liked watching a war film? With Friendly Fire, you get to do it with us!
Yeah, you don't even necessarily have to have seen the movie to get a lot out of an episode of Friendly Fire.
In many cases, we would recommend that you not watch the movie because there are some really, really bad war movies. But a bad war movie makes a great war movie podcast.
And in all cases, we recommend you listen to our show. So subscribe and download to Friendly Fire wherever you get your podcasts.
To the victor, go the spoiler alerts.
Welcome back to Story Break, a very special dad edition of Story Break. So here's the deal, folks. We recorded a bunch of these in a row in preparation for one of our brethren to go on paternity leave. And Matt?
I'm taking paternity leave, which a few of the older folks I know have often remind me that back in the day, men didn't take any time off.
Really? They've been coming at you for it, huh?
Occasionally.
Oh, well.
Well, fuck them.
Men should take time off. Yes. Be with your families. Take care of your wife. Pregnancy's hard.
So, yeah, we're recording this outro for Fireball Island, and literally tomorrow could be the day.
Yes.
So we are going to skip the usual trailer treatment for Fireball Island. Freddie and I will be back recording these outros and doing them trailers for you for the next couple episodes. But right now, we bid a fond farewell to Matt Arnold.
Yes. Well, I'll probably see some of you. I'll probably see you guys once the baby is, you know, hopefully all
fully
healthy.
Out.
Except for Freddie, because have you gotten your Tdap yet?
I got to call the hospital and see what the deal is.
2 weeks. 2 weeks after you have your Tdap, you're allowed to see my child.
That's fine.
Get your Tdap, people, if you want to see Matt's baby.
Yes.
And you know that once Matt's beautiful baby is born, she's going to want to head over to Topotico.com/collection/maximum fun to pick up her Story Break Hollywood professional mug to drink all of her baby stuff out of.
You know that when my wife is tired and can't breastfeed in the moment, my beautiful baby will be drinking that good milk from those
Story Break Hollywood professional mug. You got to get them started early drinking the number one mug of choice for the Story Break writer's room, Story Breaker.
And if you want to see what those mugs look like, head on over to @RJStoryBreak on Twitter. Will has taken some beautiful photographs of these mugs in action.
In action. You got to take a picture of your baby posing with the mug, Matt. That's
100%.
We are shilling these mugs, yep. And we are using your adorable child to do it.
Absolutely.
We also have some exciting news. A couple weeks ago, we put up the very first Story Break proto episode on the Facebook page, which was us breaking the story of Blast Corps. What you guys may not know is that we actually got the rights to Blast Corps a while ago and went around Hollywood pitching a Blast Corps television show based on that pitch with our friends from Stupid Buddy Studios.
You might know them from Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken and a bunch of other places. It did not get made.
We thought it'd be fun to be transparent and kind of show you some of the stuff. It's a grind in Hollywood, and there are definitely many projects that we pitch and develop that don't go anywhere, and sometimes we can and we'll want to share them with you. So We really liked the show we came up with. It was, we were often told it was one of the funniest pitches people ever heard, but it was like, that was really funny. What else do they have? Because that show is way too weird.
So if you want to check out the actual pitch document we came up with.
And that was in the room, in Hollywood rooms around town all over.
We will have that up on the Facebook page. Freddie, what is the page?
Why, that's bit.ly/storybreakfb. This is real docs from real Hollywood coming at you live. Just if you're ever curious about kind of our process and the stuff that gets around. So far that one didn't go, but you know, we'll be putting stuff up there.
Also no fan art this week, but thank you to our three name people this week.
Darwin Benjamin, Jake Van Schumacher, and Tom Keeley. Thank you for lending us your names to the Story Brick story gods. And for those of you who wish to offer your names in tribute, tweet them at us at RJ Story Brick for potential inclusion in a future episode. No guarantees if you're going to be a cool character or a hot character. But, you know, all of our characters are hot.
All of our characters are cool and hot, except for the ones who are bad guys who do problematic stuff, but then they, like, overcome in an arc, or they're, like, sort of the defeat of them is, like, the rejection of those
values.
And they
still might be hot because your outside appearance has nothing to do with what's on.
Hey, people are super hot for Ted Bundy right now, yeah. So I guess, you know, it's anything goes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to do it for us this week here on Story Break. My name is Freddie Wong, and I'm going to recommend, you know, the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Ooh.
Is really good. It honestly is. It's updated. It's got all the nostalgia. They figured it out. They figured out how to just get all the nostalgia of the original without, and have, you know, and have like graphics.
Freddie,
and stuff.
Maybe you, the master of unlocking, can help us. I don't know the rest of that.
Resident Evil 2 remake is pretty good. Also, a real quick plug for our other podcast, Dungeons and Daddies, is a D&D podcast that we do with our friend Beth May, who was on here, and also Anthony Birch, writer of video games and comic books. Really fun D&D podcast. So check that out as well.
I'm Will Campos, and I am going to recommend Into the Breach, the turn-based tactical game that's sweeping the nation I've been playing. I stayed up till like 3 a.m. playing it last night.
Really good.
That's my shit right now. Also, I recommend the Story Break mug one more time for all of you people to sling some hot Joe down your throat with. It can't be beat. Go buy it.
I'm Matthew Arnold, and I recommend the 1941 comedy Ball of Fire, directed by Howard Hawks and written by Billy Wilder. You can't get better than that. I reference it all the time in the writer's room, and with a current idea we have, I'm definitely referencing it again. But if you want to see Gary Cooper be a lame, goofy guy trying to write a dictionary, and then he meets and falls in love with snarky burlesque performer who teaches him all the new slang that he can put in his dictionary and then get caught up in mobster shit, go check it out. It's great.
All right. Well, see you next week, folks.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one... Weather? One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.